Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our teaching series centered on the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide based on Bob's book of the same title. Copies of the book and the study guide are available at basicgospel.net. Just click the Simple Gospel book link at the top of the homepage, and you'll find them both right there. But right now, time to get underway with today's study, and here to do that is my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're talking about freedom, freedom in Christ, and that's what we get when we couple forgiveness and life together. They add up to be freedom.
Yeah.
So in this gospel of Jesus Christ, our sins have been forgiven. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried on the third day. He was raised from the dead so that you and I could have life everlasting. That was our real need. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with Christ, and he has given his very life to us. So he died to forgive us, so we're forgiven people. He was raised so that we could be made alive, so that we could have eternal life. That's the gift that we've received. And when you add those together, you get freedom.
Yeah.
And we've certainly been equipped to handle this freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, the Old Testament is filled with pictures and shadows and stories that all point toward this freedom that you and I have in Christ Jesus. And the big narrative of the nation of Israel, that story in and of itself, the bigness of it really shows the bigness of this freedom that we have today as a result of the death, burial, and resurrection. And so we're going to look at that story starting all the way back in Genesis, and I've entitled this section of the study guide, A Plot Gone Bad. Mm-hmm. And if you have your study guide, we're on page 80, right in the middle of the page. So God's goal for us is freedom, and he has equipped us to handle it. And as we say there in the middle, this was foreshadowed in one of the most familiar stories in the Old Testament. Now, hatred and jealousy, those are two powerful forces that are in the world today. They're evil forces. They're not things that come from God. And but, you know, they show up in God's story with a lot of the characters that are a part of God's story. Even today, we see hatred and jealousy happening within the church, within the body of Christ, hatred and jealousy toward one another. But these aren't forces that can thwart the plan of God. And that's what we're going to see as we dive into the passages of Scripture. So we're going to start all the way back in Genesis 15:13. And the question right there that we start off with is this: what did God say was going to happen to Abraham's descendants? So this is early on in chapter 12, God introduces himself to Abraham. He just kind of shows up in Abraham's life, and he gives him incredible blessings and promises. It basically says, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And then in 15, he talks about the seed. You know, Abraham is complaining that he doesn't have a son, a rightful heir, and God says, you're going to have a son of promise. And Abraham believed God, and in that it was credited to him as righteousness. And then God goes on and tells him a little bit of what's going to happen to his descendants. So here's what verse 13 of Genesis 15 says. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. So what did God say was going to happen to Abraham's descendants? He said they were going to spend 400 years in a country that was not their own. They were going to be enslaved and mistreated. That's not a very bright future, is it?
No.
And we know that's exactly what happened. The nation of Israel, that group, that family, those 12 tribes, spent 400 years as slaves to the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. So in chapter 37 of Genesis. So we're going to jump forward for a little bit. We're going to look at how that came about, how they made their way from Canaan down into Egypt, what that was all about, what God's purposes were there, and how that fulfilled what God had said to Abraham. So in chapter 37, verse 28, we see this. So when the Mennonite merchants came by, his brothers, and this is Joseph, pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Now, why in the world would his brothers do that? Well, just some verses before, in verse 11, we read this. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Joseph was Jacob's favorite. Yeah. There was a special connection between those two. Now, Joseph rubbed that in his brothers' noses. He talked about the fact that he was given the coat, that he was treated as the favored son, and the other 11 didn't like that very much. Right. And so when opportunity presented itself, they sold Joseph into slavery to some Mennonite merchants, Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. So that's how this all came about. Now, while Joseph was in Egypt, he was asked to interpret a dream from Pharaoh. And we read that in chapter 41. It says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land.'" So Joseph rose from slave to ruler because he correctly interpreted Pharaoh's troubling dream. And we ask the question, how specifically did Pharaoh reward Joseph according to this passage? So he put Joseph in charge of the whole land of Egypt. So that was a meteoric rise as far as Joseph was concerned. He was a slave. That's how he was treated when he first got to Egypt. But because he was able to interpret Pharaoh's troubling dream, Pharaoh rewarded him and put him as second in command, basically, over agriculture in Egypt. Now, what happened in the rest of the world? Why is this significant? Why is this important? Well, verse 57 of chapter 41 tells us this. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. So the question we ask is this: climate change in the form of a drought and famine devastated the Middle East during those times. This catastrophe was the heart of Pharaoh's troubling dream, and with Joseph in charge of the land, Egypt was prepared to handle the famine. And it was so well prepared that others came to Egypt. So who else was Joseph in Egypt able to help according to Genesis 41:57? Well, everyone all around the world, which included Joseph's brothers.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That was good news.
All his brothers. And so we read about that. So how many of Jacob's family went to Egypt? All of them. All of them did. They all went down there. God encouraged them to go down there and said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt. I will make you into a great nation. And that's exactly what happened. So this story of the brothers selling Joseph into slavery, they meant it for evil. God turned it out for good.
Right.
He orchestrated all that so that he could save these 12 tribes, these sons of Jacob, from a famine, a severe famine. So God used all this to carry out his purposes for the nation of Israel. Yeah. So they grew, they settled in Egypt, and their numbers started to swell, and they became a great nation, just as God had foretold.
Within the nation of Egypt.
Within the nation of Egypt. And the numbers got so alarming, Pharaoh started to wonder, the Pharaoh of that time started to wonder, man, if we continue to let them grow and expand in number, they're going to take over. They're going to rule us. So he put the clamps down, and he started treating them harshly, and they became slaves in the land. Now, that's a picture of our slavery to sin and death. You and I come into this world, we're in bondage to sin and death. So we spend a certain amount of time as slaves to sin until the plan of God becomes effective in our lives. Now, God had a plan for the nation of Israel, and as I said, that foretells what the plan of God was for you and me in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel, moving through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. Friends, you know, in-depth teaching of New Covenant grace, and sometimes we get into the Old Covenant as well, but anyway, in Jesus Christ, it's what we bring to the airwaves and online on Fridays here at Basic Gospel. The current study, of course, is based on the book, as I said, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And if you would like a review of any of these weekly sessions along the way, we have an archive for you, and you can find that at basicgospel.net/teaching. All the sessions are there for you and for anyone that you'd like to share them with. To get your copy of the study guide, you can order it and the book directly off the archive page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Before getting back to our study, just a quick note that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And we want to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel by sending you a copy of the resource that Bob Christopher has prepared. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, a deep and fresh look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. Request your copy when you make your January gift, and do that by tomorrow, of course, at basicgospel.net. Now back to our study, and again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we have Jacob that has the 12 sons. Joseph is the favored son. The brothers are jealous of him. Hatred starts to bubble up inside of them. They plot to kill him. I think Reuben, the oldest, says, no, we're not going to do that. And they ended up selling him into slavery for 20 shekels of silver. He was taken to Egypt. He was able to interpret a dream. He was put in charge of the entire land over the agriculture. And God used that as a way to save his brothers, to bring his brothers from the promised land where a famine was going on, and to take care of them in Egypt. And they grew in size and number, became a great nation in Egypt.
Yeah.
Well, that offended the Pharaoh. He said, hey, we've got to do something about these Israelites. He started treating them harshly. In Exodus chapter 1, we see in verse 14, it said, they made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. And all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. So that was life for the Israelites under Egyptian rule. It was not fun. They were told when to get up, when to go to bed, what to do in between time, what to eat, when to eat, how to eat it. They were just under the thumb of the Egyptians, as it said, treated harshly. So they were sent there as a means of saving them from famine. And it turned out to be a time of slavery for 400 years, just as God said to Abraham. That happened. Now, in Exodus chapter 3, we see God's plan continuing for the people of Israel. He wasn't going to leave them in Egypt. Right. He wasn't going to leave them under the control of the Egyptians. So some 400 years after they get there, we see the story of Moses. And this is just a fabulous story because it's a foreshadowing of the story of Jesus, exactly what Jesus did to save us from our enslavement to sin and death. So in verse 3, or chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, we see a powerful promise being made. Now, Moses was a man, and God revealed his plan to rescue the people of Egypt or Israel to Moses when he appeared to him in a burning bush. So how did God introduce himself to Moses in Exodus 3:6? Well, we read this, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So Moses is there, and he sees this burning bush, and he is taken to it because there's fire in it, but the bush isn't burning. The fire was indicative of the very presence of God. And then he hears the voice of God, and God introduces himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he knows this is the one true God, the real God. Now, how did Moses respond to that? And at this, it says Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. I think that would be true of all of us. We would hide our face. Yeah. We would be afraid to look at him. Now, why did God come down? Why did God show himself to Moses in this miraculous way through this burning bush? Well, we see that in verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them, the people of Israel, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites.
All those ites.
That's right. That's right. So why did God show himself to Moses in this way? Why did he come down? Well, he came down to rescue his people, the people of Israel, from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that enslavement and take them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So God has come down to do that. I think that's a significant part of this story, a part that we oftentimes overlook. We tend to make Moses the hero, but Moses isn't the hero in this story. He is simply a person that is participating. Yeah. God is the hero. God is the one who has come down to rescue the people. It's his doing. So when we read in the New Testament that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, we know that it's God's doing to rescue us from sin and death. Now, who was God's choice to lead the people out of Egypt? We see this in verses 10 and 11 of Exodus 3. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So who was God's choice? Moses. Moses was God's choice to lead the people out. He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to look him in the eye and say to him, let my people go. Well, Moses wasn't very assured of himself, wasn't confident in his leadership abilities. And he said, why in the world would I be the one? Why would God pick me? Now, oftentimes we think the same way about ourselves. Why would God use me? Well, because he wants to. Because that's his choice, because he wants to use us. And we don't have to have all the talent in the world. We don't have to have all the skills in the world. We don't have to be polished in our speaking abilities or any of those things. All we have to do is be available, and God will work through us. That's what he's looking for, our availability, not our ability, but our availability. So Moses didn't think he had the ability to be the leader God was calling him to be. And then we see something astounding in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 3. We see God blowing away the doubts of Moses. And here's how he did it. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So how did God assuage the doubts of Moses? Well, he said, listen, You're not doing this by yourself. I'm the one that has come down to rescue the people. I am the one that is going to free them from the hand of the Egyptians. You're just going to be a vessel through which I work.
Right.
So I'm not sending you to Pharaoh to do this on your own. I'm not sending you to be there by yourself. He says, I will be with you. Now, that's the good news for all of us. When we receive Christ Jesus, God comes to live inside of us. And these are his very words to us. I will be with you. I am your life. I am living inside of you. Whatever life throws your way, whatever challenges and obstacles you face in your day-to-day experience, your day-to-day walk, you're not facing them alone. I am with you. And so God gave Moses a sign and says, when you come out, you're going to worship me here on this mountain. Now, Moses is still not 100% sure, so he asked the question, what name am I to say to the people as who you are, as the one who has sent me? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. So that's the name of God. Now, why is that significant to us? Why is that important to us? Because Jesus Christ claimed to be the great I am.
Yes, he did.
When he had a conversation with the Pharisees, and it was a conversation about this very subject, about being slaves to sin. It was in the context of Jesus' great words. If you abide, if you are truly my disciples, you will abide in my word and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And when the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. And the Pharaohs responded and said, why are you talking like that? We have never been slaves to anyone. And it's like they forgot their history.
Yeah.
They forgot this story out of the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. And Jesus told them, he said, yes, you're a slave to sin. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. I have come in the same way that God came down to the people of Israel to rescue you, to free you from your enslavement to sin and death. And in the course of that conversation, at the very end of it, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So this is a story of rescue. It's a story of liberation. It's a story that foreshadowed our own rescue by Jesus Christ himself, our story of liberation from the bonds of sin and death. Moses became a type of Christ. God sent Moses to lead the people out. God sent Jesus to set us free from sin and death. The great I am doing what only the great I am can do. Free us from the powers that control us, just as he freed the Israelites from Egyptian rule. He frees us from the rule of sin and death.
Just a great study, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for the study edition. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net. Keep in mind, too, that as we close this particular broadcast, we need your partnership to keep the good news of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And to say thanks for your partnership with Basic Gospel, we want to send you a copy of Bob's latest resource that will guide you into a deep look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional, and we want you to have a copy. Request yours when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage. That's basicgospel.net. Well, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe, and we'll see you again for another edition of Basic Gospel on Monday, God willing. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.